attention. You know how broke people are. They always have some pets.
Yeah.
I'm like, either eat those pets or give them away. Or you're not broke. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Katzmere.
And this is episode 18, and it's all advice on advice, baby. 100% of advice on advice all the time. So
what did you got? What do you have?
One of our things I think it was the last one. I'm like, what you got? It's like we're on the corner.
I know, advice. What you got?
Advice. So I have a piece of advice from Dr. Phil.
Oh.
Yeah, you know how much I loathe Dr. Phil. And it says, and this is specifically for women,
advice,
so you know it's going to be good. A recent survey found that women are 2.5 times more likely to have apprehension when negotiating than men.
All right.
Men said, now I don't know who men is.
Yeah.
It's just like men said the process of negotiation is like winning a ball game, while women said the process is like going to the dentist. What does that mean?
You know what men? It was Dr. Phil and his fat friends.
But who are the women who said, yeah, when I think about negotiation, I think about going to the dentist?
No, it's like...
I don't know.
Who's he... Like, he's asking, like, an executive male.
Yeah.
Like, the owner, the CEO of a company. And then he's asking, you know...
Oh, a housewife from 1950.
Yeah.
Don't be intimidated by the process of deal-making!
And then I'm scared of that off the bat, huh?
Because I'm a woman from the 50s.
Yeah.
Dr. Phil and his guests offer their tips on how to do it successfully. So first of all, he's got five tips here. And he gets the tips from this guy called Chop Tobin.
All right.
Who is the king of cars from Tobin Automotive.
Does this sound like
someone who's going to rip you off?
Is it cars with a K?
No. It's king,
is it
with
a
K.
With a K.
But it's the king of cars, Chop Tobin.
Okay,
here's my thing. I bought cars before, have you?
Yeah.
If you go there and there's a guy who's calling himself the king of cars, no.
You're not going to work with him.
He's not the king if you're giving people a good price.
And why is his name Chop?
I don't know.
Think of that as his real name. As a nickname. Somebody gave it to him.
Chop.
Hey, Chop.
Chop Tobin. Terrible.
Hey, Chop, get out there and...
Yeah, and do your thing. So here are his tips for buying
Probably
a car.
Probably was a Coke dealer.
Chop.
You know, like cutting
that would be cut, Tobin.
Or maybe he got a lot of veneers, and those were his
choppers.
His choppers.
Like kicking the chops?
Yeah, his big smile.
His chompers. So number one, it says research. Duh. Number two, stay calm.
Why? The head's going
to
explode?
Because you know what happens to us women when we go to a car dealership? We become hysterical. We freak out. We start running around like a chicken with no head. We haven't
crying.
Done research.
Oh, and crying at the...
Are you here to buy a car? Yes, I guess so.
Ah!
And then start running to and fro. The other tips are, know that a dealership wants your money and doesn't want to leave you without a car.
Doesn't want to leave you.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't want you to leave.
No, sorry, doesn't want you to leave.
Right.
Don't be too polite to make an aggressive offer. Spend time negotiating a deal. Act confident. Don't be too honest. This is all crap.
It's all crap. I like how at a car dealership, they always have a car in the back that they never tell you about till you're like, no.
But they have to go talk to management about it.
No, they're like, oh, we got this one. Then they have to go talk about pricing to the manager.
To management. They have to go in the back, have a cup of coffee. I mean, talk to the management.
Yeah.
And look at the car. This is awful. Like, okay, first of all, I think that women know how to negotiate. We just don't want to.
Yeah.
It's just like African Americans can work in corporate America. We don't want to.
Yeah.
Because it's too much hassle a lot of the time. I think that if you want to do a successful negotiation for a car, go to a woman. Find
Absolutely.
A woman who sells cars and give her your business. Because even if you get ripped off, at least it's going to another broad.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think that's great advice. That's an improvement on the advice there.
I've bought cars in the United States, and I once negotiated a deal for a car in Budapest. I know what I'm doing, people. Go in there, balls out, ready to get to the mat, and don't take no for an answer. If you have to deal with a guy, do it. If you can find a woman, deal with her.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, don't panic.
Or don't get a car. Don't get a car, period.
Don't get a car.
Just
I like the stay calm.
Stay calm, lady.
Yeah.
Because you know how all your lady parts...
Yeah, we get hysterical. Things start to vibrate and buzz, and we see mechanics. We don't know what to do.
And everything's shiny, too.
Women have fallen out. And had to be taken, carried away from car dealerships. Screw you, Dr. Phil. And screw you, Chop Tobin.
Screw you. That's our advice to you. Screw you.
Our other advice is don't listen to Dr. Phil. He's not a real doctor anyway. He's not that kind of doctor. So that is my advice on Dr. Phil's successful tips for negotiating to buy a car.
Okay, very good.
Boo. I have some love advice here.
Oh.
This is a short one, so I will read it. Well, my boyfriend of 1 year just got incarcerated and will be locked up for 14 years. We had plans for marriage and to start a family. I love him with all my heart. Do I wait for him or try and move on with my life, even though I know I will never find anyone else like him? Saddened by the bars. Dear Saddened by the Bars, you have to ask yourself if he's really worth putting your life on hold for 14 years. A person can change dramatically in that time. He may not be the same person you met when he gets out. On the other hand, if you really have something truly special, it could be worth the wait.
No, what? Wait a minute. She's advising this woman to wait it out for the criminal?
No, she's saying trust yourself. And make the right decision and have faith in your ability to do the right thing. I know this is a difficult and emotional situation to deal with, but in time you will find the answer you are looking for.
No,
there's a short answer to this. The question is, do I wait for him or try to move on with my life?
And?
No, you
no.
don't. And yes. Those are the answers respectively. Do I wait for him? No. Do I try to move on with my life?
Yes.
First of all, she said, even though I know I will never find anyone else like him, no, you probably will find lots of dudes who get locked up after you've been with him for a year. They are all over the place.
That's a very common type of guy.
Yeah.
So you,
a jailbird.
Yeah.
Nothing new about that.
They're all over the place.
Yeah. He may not be the same person you met when he gets out. That's right, because he'll be a hardened criminal who's probably had some experiences with men that he probably will not want to talk about but can never forget.
Yeah, and these men, well, and then there's going to be the other men that he's going to be friends with afterwards,
mm-hmm.
or his associates who are going to be coming around the house.
Exactly,
so.
Sniffing around your trailer. What? This is one word advice.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Not one word advice. It's, yeah. No, and then yes. Those are the answers. 14 years? How old do you think this person is? That's what I was trying to figure out. At the very least, let's say she's, because she seems pretty stupid.
So she's got to be 20.
Let's say 20.
All right.
And that's, you know, 14 or 34.
Of those prime years
mm-hmm.
she wants to.
To start a family. So you're going to wait to, first of all, after 14 years, you're not coming over here. If you know what I'm saying. Like, we're not starting a family.
You know what?
After 14 years.
If she needs to ask advice on this, maybe she should say yes. You know what? Wait for him. And then maybe in that 14 years, she'll smart up a bit.
Okay, yeah.
And then she'll be like, oh, okay, maybe. Because if she actually goes out and tries to find somebody else,
mm-hmm.
she's going to find another one of the same guys. But if we take her off the market for a little while.
She'll have time to reflect.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that, when I was 20... 4 years ago. No, but when I was 20, and then thinking, waiting until 34 for somebody? No.
No, that
was
never.
It's not going to happen.
I'm not waiting. I'm not, if you don't call me back.
Yeah.
If you don't even answer my email.
14 days. Forget it. I just said, yes, you will meet lots of people like this. A guy who gets, what did he do that he got locked up for 14 years? I'm guessing this wasn't just some light theft.
Yeah, it had to be something with a gun.
Something pretty bad. Something with a gun.
Why not?
Something violent.
Yeah.
So yeah, this advice should just be, do I wait for him? No. Do I try to move on? Hell yes.
Yes.
Hell yes.
I would say just wait a few years. Don't date anybody.
Just cool it.
Just sit on stop it. Stay home.
Stay home. Forget
sit
about it.
Sit on it, Potsy.
Yeah.
And,
Potsy?
Potsy.
Is that what they used to say to Potsy?
Yeah. Well, they used to say that all the time on Happy Days. Sit on it.
You know, I used to watch that show And I didn't know if that it was in the 50s. I thought it was just corny-ass white people. I had no idea.
I'm not kidding.
When I was a small girl, I used to watch it and think these were just corny people. It didn't occur to me.
That it was set in the
50s. That it was set in the past. Because you could still see things like that. Keep in mind, I grew up in a rural area.
You could still see
things that you would see on the show.
That's mind-blowing.
In people's houses. And it wasn't until I got a little bit older, not much older, that I was like, oh, snap, it was a period piece. I thought they were just corny.
Well, you can also tell these shows, whenever you have a question if a show is a period piece or not, you have to go back 20 years from the date that you're, the year you're in.
Yeah, but I was too young for that. I couldn't have gone back 20 years. It didn't occur. Same thing when I watched Laverne and Shirley when I was, you know, when I was really young. I just thought, okay, these are just two women living on their own. What's the big deal?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You didn't realize the feminist movement that it was.
Yeah, it was, and that Lenny and Squiggy
were two dirtbags.
Yeah, were two dirtbags. I was just like, I just thought they were greasy.
And funny.
White people, because you could see, I'm telling you, you could see people like that where I'm from. You could see someone wearing a Letterman jacket and slicking back their hair. You could see some of these old ass cars.
I just don't know why in the 70s everybody just walked into each other's houses. They did that to Laverne and Shirley, those two guys, on One Day at a Time.
Oh, that's right.
You know, Schneider, the super, would just pop
now
in.
There's a lot of knocking.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's appropriate, at least.
It is appropriate. Except for on Seinfeld, where that now known as a bigot.
Yeah, right. Oh, God.
Just busts in. So.
That's it.
Interesting. Yeah, right. I never knew that on Happy Days. Oh, I love the show.
It was a good show.
I definitely thought Fonzie was really cute. And then as I got older, I was like, what was I thinking?
I know, everybody did. Everybody thought he was cute. And then when
nobody knew.
Nobody understood what was going on.
They told us, they sold it to us.
And they did, and he did a job of it too.
Just like they sell us Shia LaBeouf and he's not cute either. They keep putting it out there and we believe it.
In 30 years or 40 years, we'll be like, oh my God, Shia LaBeouf was
in. Yeah, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you have?
Okay, this is from the website Dear Mrs. Webb.
Oh, God, our favorite.
Don't like Mrs. Webb. I just
excuse
don't
me while
like
I
her.
Refill my glass for this one. What do we have for Mrs. Webb today?
Dear Mrs. Webb, yesterday my neighbors stopped by to tell me they are moving. We've been good neighbors, but not extraordinarily close. They are moving to another state. Her husband has been transferred. They asked me whether we would let her 17-year-old son live with us while he finished his last year of school there in town.
Oh, I saw this one online.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah.
She offered to pay room and board. We don't know these people well at all, and we're surprised to find them wanting us to care for their son.
We're surprised they had a son.
What should we do? And the answer is, I don't know.
What?
Do you want a 17-year-old boarder? You're under no obligation with these people. You can say no. It just won't work for your family. The end. What?
What was it again? What was the first thing?
Is that the answer is, the person asks,
you know, I don't know.
What should we do? And the answer is, I don't know.
First of all,
that's why I hate Mrs. Webb.
This is, you're supposed to offer advice. Why even print the damn thing if you're not going to, I don't know. You're fired. Yeah.
Oh, that's like she's gotten to the bottom of her bottle.
And she's like, I don't know.
I don't know. Okay. What do you want? What the f*** do you want?
Yeah, do you want? Does anyone want a 17-year-old boarder?
I don't want one. Do you? Do
what?
You? What? You're under no obligation. Do whatever you want. Do whatever you want.
I think it would depend on the amount of cash offered and who the young man is. Like, if you know, there are definitely some people I know who have kids of that age that if I had space and they were there just during the school year and not there on the weekends when I do my thing,
yeah,
it might be okay. But, I mean, yeah, you can't really answer that question for someone else, I guess.
You can't.
You don't say, I don't know, because you're an advice columnist. You don't say, I don't know.
Yeah. We've been good neighbors, but not extraordinarily close. And the kid, you know, the family's transferred and the kid wants to stay and finish out his year. I mean, it's not going to kill him to move, but it's like, it would be nice.
Yeah, I think a lot of things would be nice. I'd like to be taller, but I mean, that's not going to happen either.
How about they get their mail there at the apartment, so the kid, or the house, so the kid can, it looks like the kid is still in the district, and then he goes and stays with some other people. That's my answer.
Well, there's got to be some kind of boarding situation for a kid. Yeah, they don't have a relative in this town.
I know, right? We're like, what's up with them? They have no family. What kind of people are they?
But the kid doesn't have a best friend. It's not like they're trying to pawn off this kid.
And what kind of people are these? They're like, oh yeah, we're close, but not great friends. Like,
they don't have a great friend that they can stay with.
Yeah,
I find that bizarre.
You know, I think it's like these people who are asking for the advice are these fake people who make you think that you're good friends with them,
mm-hmm.
and be like, oh yeah. And so these people that want to pawn off their son
think that they're great friends,
yeah.
and they don't understand
what's going on.
The problem, because maybe they've probably said it in the past when they've been getting drunk on gin and tonics,
you know, how
in
close
the patio,
they are.
How close they are, and if they ever needed anyone to look after their son,
yeah, or anything. They're probably the kid's guardian too.
I was gonna say, how much do you want to bet they're like the godparents, and they're like, do we really have to make good on this?
Yeah, right.
I mean, we said this thing 17 years ago when the kid was christened.
Yeah, well, I think this person is incredibly insincere. I think that they've been telling her. I bet you they've been borrowing stuff. I've been getting the lawnmower.
Going in and out of each other's houses like it's the 70s.
Yeah, without knocking.
Without knocking.
I'm sure they've been doing all that. So these people think it's totally appropriate to
and
ask
now
for
they're
this
like,
favor.
What?
And this kid is probably like, you know, the president of the class. And just got elected at the end of junior year, and he's so psyched.
Maybe he's also, like, the team captain of whatever sport mm-hmm. they're playing.
And not only that, he does Safe Ride, which is, on the weekends, he stays sober, so...
And he also does Habitat for Humanity.
Yeah.
He's also a preacher on the side. Like, he does a lot of things. Missionary work. I think that's kind of weird, though.
It is weird. The whole thing is weird, and I think it's all very veiled, and nobody's coming clean here.
I think the real problem here is there's a breakdown in communication.
Well, then again, how buff is he?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Is there something going on between the wife and this young man, like, or the husband? Who knows? This is 2011.
I'll take in, like, an 18-year-old.
Yeah, that's true. Because then they're an adult.
Yeah, it'd be like, you know, whatever happens. The heart wants what the heart wants.
Exactly. That makes sense.
You know.
But a 17-year-old in your house, yeah, there's a lot of legal issues there. A lot of legal issues. Is this woman a teacher? Who knows what's going
on? Nobody knows. Nobody knows.
But you don't say, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. Who cares?
I need advice. I don't know.
I don't know. You know, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
What are you asking me for? Well, advice. I mean, you're Mrs. Webb. The worst.
That's terrible advice.
So I have a piece of advice here from the Chicago Tribune. Ask Amy.
Okay.
And the title is, Needy Sister Always Asks for Cash. So this is Dear Amy, I am a stay-at-home mother of two. We live comfortably, not lavishly, in an affluent suburb with good schools. The problem is the woman's sister. She lives in another state. She's divorced, broke, constantly needs money, has been fired from jobs, and blew through an inheritance. Lost a house to foreclosure, has no savings, is constantly facing eviction, is probably ugly. Everything is wrong with this woman. She's also a defendant in a lawsuit and facing jail time. She's 48. She regularly asks us for money, for food, for dog food. Because she's a breeder and has 10. Yeah, you know how broke people are. They always have some pets.
Yeah.
I'm like, either eat those pets or give them away. Or you're not broke. So they've given her over 12 grand in the past several years.
Oh.
And the husband is like, had it. Because keep in mind, this woman's a stay-at-home mother.
Mm-hmm.
So all this money is coming out of her husband's pocket, but also out of the mouths of her children.
Okay.
So the husband is at the end of the rope and says, I don't want to do it anymore. How do I cut her off? When I know she doesn't have money for food, rent, and utilities. She gets unemployment and food stamps and tells me that public aid won't help because she doesn't have children.
Wow.
What does this sound like to you?
Yep.
Okay. So, she says, sending you on guilt trips is your sister's current profession. She seems to be making a living. It might help you to stiffen your spine and understand that you should say no. She then suggests that her sister may have a mental health problem and that she should help her get professional help and call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline.
Oh my God. So she's like, yeah, your sister's like giving you the business.
This doesn't sound like mental illness to me at all.
No, it doesn't. Sounds like something else.
This sounds like a bitch.
It sounds like...
And an easy mark. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, to me it sounded like a big drug problem.
It could be a drug problem, but it also could just be a scam.
It could be a scam, but like it seems like she knows the ropes with the
she's got financial food stamps.
Food stamps, so she knows the system.
And she's got she's getting unemployment. She's probably living in an apartment subsidized because she's breeding dogs. None of this makes sense. If you're, the drug addict thing, maybe, but I mean, she's got dogs, supposedly.
Well, what kind of dogs does she breed? Do we know?
It says she has as many as 10 dogs at a time. She's probably stealing dogs and selling them. That's a big thing now.
Oh, yeah.
They've been advising people not to talk to people about their dogs in parks now.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
So what do you mean if someone
says... So people are like, oh, nice to meet you. Is that a purebred?
Really?
What kennel is he from?
Oh.
Then they follow you home and they take snatch the pooch.
Can I tell you a dirty secret, shameful secret?
Sure. You've stolen dogs before. You sell dogs on the side.
I am the grandniece of the kingpin of the dog mafia.
That's right. The puppy mills.
Yes. Yeah.
That's sordid.
I don't know if I can even tell that story. People won't do that.
Somebody's got to do it.
Oh, it's an awful. Yeah, no, but apparently these puppy mill people, they send out their trucks throughout the U.S. and then they scoop
snatch
up
dogs.
Yeah, pets, whatever, even on a leash in the yard. They go on people's properties and steal dogs.
And when they sell them?
They sell them. They did when they used to do medical research on them. That's what they did.
Now, thankfully, they just use monkeys. Phew. I can't believe that. When we used to have a dog in Riverdale, sometimes we would go into the bank just to use the ATM right there. And we would just tie the dog, you know, to the right outside. And all the time people were like, you got to be careful. People are snatching dogs. I'm like, I'm right here, lady. Oh, I'm God, right here.
I didn't
here.
Hear that they were snatching dogs.
People are snatching dogs like you wouldn't believe.
In this economy?
Because of this economy. Are you kidding?
They have to feed the dog.
They're selling the dog. You know how much dogs go for? A friend of ours bought a dog for $1,400.
So they're looking for the purebreds.
Mm-hmm. That's why they're like, hey, is that a purebred dog? Oh, he's so cute. What kind of dog is it? Where'd he get? Snatch.
Bye.
Run. It's kind of like, I imagine, you know, when you watch football and they have like a snap pass and they just run with it under their arms. That's what I'm imagining.
Oh, my God.
And they're not grabbing just little dogs.
They're trying to get the greyhounds.
Yeah. They want whatever. Home invasions.
Not greyhounds, the Great Danes. Those are the big
people
ones.
People, when they break into your home and they steal, well, not this TV. When they steal, then they steal a
nobody,
TV.
The Hey You Know It TV is
massive.
Is massive.
You will not be stealing it.
It is as wide as it is tall. Yeah.
But it's a great TV.
It's a great TV, but
it's just it's theft proof. We'll put it that way.
I don't know how many people it took to get it up the stairs.
Men died.
Yes.
But anyway, so... This advice, I mean, suicide, this one's not going to commit suicide. She's going to move on to a new
mark. This advice is all over the place. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, she's playing you. Well, she might kill herself. Well, I don't know.
Yeah. Give her this phone number. 1-800, don't kill yourself.
Oh, my God.
Like, no, it's like suicide prevention.
Yeah, but how does she get there?
I don't know. Because she said that this is to cover yourself. So, like, say you tell the sister you're not getting squat, and then she kills herself, be like, well, I gave her the phone number.
Yeah, exactly.
I gave her the 1-800-273-8255.
Absolutely, and as we know, phone numbers can save lives.
Yes, phone numbers, if you use them correctly, it can save your life. How bizarre is that?
That's bizarre. She obviously, I think she has a drug or alcohol problem.
Something.
And then she's got all the dogs in the house, so she just breeds them.
Well, if she regularly asks us for money for food and dog food... I don't think there are any dogs, Katie. I gotta be honest. I don't think there are any dogs.
Right.
I don't think there's anything. I think that this woman has gotten a free $12,000 over the past couple of years, and that's not a bad gig.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice work. It's nice work if you can get it.
All right.
I think the advice is don't give her anything, and change your phone number.
Oh. Or put her to work. Give her a job in your town.
Yeah. I don't even tell people where I live. The way you live, Bronx.
The end.
The end.
Oh, my God.
All right, what advice have you got?
Oh.
Do you have any more? Is it more Miss Webb, or is there something different?
No, it's another Mrs. It's Webb, because I couldn't stay. I just can't handle her. Okay, dear Mrs. Webb, I do not like a man who is a good friend of my boyfriend. If I was not dating my boyfriend, then I would have absolutely no contact with this person.
Or if I were not dating. Go ahead.
I used to keep a list of all the stupid things this man has done. I gave up. He is such a fool. My boyfriend believes I should repair my relationship with this man, and I'm having a hard time doing this. I'm civil towards him, but that's all. This man has apologized for some of his mistakes. But
who is this man? Why does she keep saying this man?
This sounds like it's a precursor to a song in a musical. Oh, this man. He has done so many stupid things.
Here's my list.
This man. Okay. But he hasn't proved he wants a friendship or deserves my friendship. In all honesty, the less I have to do with him, the better. My boyfriend's request is that I make amends. I'm finding this very difficult. Any suggestions?
Okay. So that's okay, let's review. The problem
no,
is
No, well,
that...
let me give the advice.
Okay.
It sounds like you don't want one of your boyfriend's friends in your life.
Really? Is that what it sounds like? That's not what I got from it. I got that they're having problems with intimacy. What? Of course that's it.
You're not married, so you really don't have to You are not married, so you really have no need to have this man in your life. Tell your boyfriend.
Which man? Oh, this man. This is awful.
Tell your boyfriend you would rather avoid seeing this man.
She's making fun of her at this point. We realize that, right? That she keeps saying this man. This is rude. Go on, you have to read the advice. This is something I have to edit out. I'm not editing this out. I'm leaving that in.
All right. And then she says, you know, giving someone a bit of...
This one full minute of wheezing and laughing. No, read the advice.
This is the advice.
That's it.
That's basically it. And she just tops it off by saying... You know, giving someone a bit of grace says more about you than it would ever say about the one who needs it.
I don't know. What is that? Read that again. What does that mean?
I don't know. There's no advice there. She just says, give someone a bit of grace says more about you than it ever would say about the one who needs it. Doesn't mean anything.
Okay, you tell this. You need to tell this man to get to Steppen. I mean, this is terrible advice. Okay, we've all... You're going to be okay.
Be fine. Right.
Have some water. Have some water.
All right.
You're not. I don't want to say anything because you're crying. This advice has brought tears to Katie's eyes. Look, this is a classic situation of somebody is dating someone. He's got a bunch of friends who are assholes. There's one particular asshole, this man. And she doesn't know what to do. Do you want me to pause?
Yeah.
And we're back.
Yeah, so anyway, so she's saying, yeah, you don't want this guy in your life, but...
This man... Sorry. But there's no... she's saying that she should allow... Okay. If you're in a serious relationship with someone, and they have a friend who's just a schlong.
A fool.
A fool who's just hanging or sniffing around, some kind of scrub. I really feel like it is your duty, as the woman in a relationship, to cleave this friend.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it...
From your man.
A woman's duty all the time to
get rid of the friend.
Clean house of the friends. Be
always.
Like, they should stand in a line and be like, no, yes, no, no, no,
and
yes.
And you know what? Sooner rather than later. Because they're going to have to go at some point. They're going to have to go. Every woman knows this. And every guy knows this. And this is why guys don't like the girlfriend. Because they know the girlfriend can spot a fool.
Right.
At 50 paces, and they know their time is numbered. Because at the end of the day, you're sleeping with the man.
Right, and you can Yoko Ono anyone out of the scene.
You can definitely pull a Yoko Ono. So that's what it should say. It should say, see Yoko Ono.
Yeah, and embrace it and get rid of
him. And run with it. Because this guy is not even a Beatle. Terrible advice.
This is awful advice.
Take our advice. Get rid of him. Get rid of this man.
Just get rid of him. Yeah, no grace. We don't need any grace.
Grace? For what?
Grace, I guess.
Saving.
She's implying, you know, be the bigger person and just let this guy in your house.
In no circumstance, under no circumstances would I be the bigger person.
You know what? I had a boyfriend with a friend who...
was this man? This man-like? This man-esque?
Well, some of the things that this guy did, I couldn't even have him in my apartment.
That's fair. Cause it's your apartment.
Yeah, because he would... I heard that he would wash himself in the sink.
Excuse me?
Yeah. He would wash himself.
Oh, Lord.
In the sink when he felt like it. So he could be anywhere. At your apartment, someone else's, and he had no shame.
And sticking it in the sink?
Sticking it in the sink and washing it. And I said, he's not coming here.
I would have waited outside the door, and if I thought he was watching me, I would have burst in and smacked it with something.
Yeah.
And that would be the last time that this man would wash this man's self in my sink. That's disgusting. I once dated a guy who would occasionally pee in the sink.
Yeah.
And he did it at his house. And I saw it.
Why would he do this?
I don't know. I don't care.
Because there's a toilet right next to the sink, usually.
I know. I have no idea. But he wasn't coming over to my house.
Yeah, forget it.
And I wasn't inviting him over to any of my friends' houses.
You know, I left a party once because I was in the kitchen and a man came out of the bathroom and you heard the toilet flush. No water ran. And he came out and introduced himself and shook my hands and his hand was warm.
Ew.
Right? And so that's bad enough. And then he stuck his hand in the bag of chips and took a handful out and was eating them.
That's disgusting.
It was all disgusting and I left. Had to.
You should have alerted everyone at the party.
Yeah.
That guy had penis hands and put it right in the chips. And thank you very much. I was Katie Casimir. This party is over. Can someone call me a cab?
I declare this party over.
Why was his hand warm?
Because that was the dead giveaway that he didn't wash it. Because when you wash your hands get a little cooler, right?
Well, unless you use hot water, which
I did. No, but it's always...
Still cool at the end.
Yeah.
All right.
Not like, you know, warm hand.
I always use hot water.
That's okay, but at least you're going to feel it. You're going to feel something.
But also, I usually, in a situation like that, I probably won't shake your hand coming out of the bathroom.
Yeah.
Because even though I've dried my hands, they might be still a little wet. Yeah. And that's weird.
Just do a pinky wave.
Yeah.
That's what
I
do.
Or just what's up? One of these, like a head fake kind of a thing. Sup.
Oh, putting the head upward.
Yeah.
Tilting it up and saying
it up.
And
saying zup or sup, depending on the accent of the region.
Okay. Got it.
So that was our special advice on advice on advice on advice episode.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. And don't forget to rate us on iTunes. Any 5-star reviews will be read regardless of content.
And also, if you have any questions and you would like some advice, feel free to ask us because you know we will answer it.
as it shines.